sang is the ongoing part of 1 Samuel 23, how David is rescued from the hand of Saul. So let us now read the part that we will focus on in this sermon, 1 Samuel 23, verse 14 and onwards in this chapter. Samuel 23, verse 14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness, remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul, to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure, and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard, when he heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take him. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelled in strongholds at En-Gedi. This part is the text for the sermon this morning. And our response after the sermon is hymn number 85. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all know the saying, you are never too old to learn. This indicates that our life is a continuous training school. That's not only true for our day-to-day life, it is especially true for our spiritual life. In our life with God, we too, continually, we have to grow to the maturity of Christ. Now, in view of this growth, then in all the circumstances of life, God trains us to have our safety, joy, and peace with Him. That's how He dealt with David also in 1 Samuel 23. It's all a very well-known biblical narrative. We all know it, young and old. I guess also for a lot of children here, it is really a story they love to read and over again to read it. But, no, also children, here we are not just concerned with an exciting game of hide and seek, a game that then ends, as it were, in a bad fight. Here, the Bible, it's about seeking and having a safe place with the Lord, with the God of our baptism. When, for example, very upsetting things come our way, when you don't seem to have any way out of difficulties, when all the doors to safety and joy seem to be shut. In such circumstances, think of 1 Samuel 23, beloved. For here, God teaches us that our whole life is a training. In our whole life, we are in a training school, where we learn to depend on the Lord, and that we have Him as our hideout, as our shelter. And this brings us to our text. This morning I may serve you with the gospel as follows. In God's training school, David learns that God is his safe hiding place. 3 points. The secret of David's hiding place, the verses 14 through to 18. The discovery of David's hiding place, the verses 19 through 26. And then in the last place, the safety of David's hiding place, verse 27 through to 29. So in God's training school, David learns that God is his safe hiding place. First then, his secret, the secret of his hiding place. Brothers and sisters, in 1 Samuel 23, King Saul is pursuing David. And you know what prompted him to do that? Saul had been striving for his own honor. He more and more, and in the end, totally, he depended on himself and his own strength. And therefore, the Lord had left Saul and blessed David. Now, because of David's growing success and popularity, Saul distrusted and envied David more and more. David became now his rival, and Saul couldn't stand that. It threatened his self-esteem, and he wanted to get rid of David. First, Saul tried to do that inconspicuously, you know, by giving David dangerous tasks to do. But every time David returned safely and with great success, then Saul started to persecute David openly. And he had to flee. David had to flee. Saul hunted for him as a dangerous rebel or a terrorist. And so David had to wander from one place to another. Time and again David managed still to escape the squeezing hand of Saul. However, in 1 Samuel 23, the situation became very delicate. It landed David in a very critical situation. Well, what happened in Keilah? With the help of the Lord, David had become the liberator of Keilah, that place. He rescued there God's people from their arch enemy, the Philistines. Yes, in the first part of 1 Samuel 23, David is the triumphant conqueror. But he himself didn't gain much peace with that rescue operation. As you will understand, news about David's action at Keilah had reached Saul. Again, Saul was already on his way to seize him. And look now, when David inquired of the Lord about what to do, he heard that the people would hand him over to Saul. So if he would stay in Keilah, it would become his prison. And even worse, it would mean his death. The fortified city, the city with walls and gates, appeared not to be the safe refuge place for David. And that must have been a bitter disappointment for him, the future king of Israel. And once again, he was forced to roam around and about in the wilderness, seeking shelter in caves. And for some time, David seemed to be safe. Though Saul continued his search, we read, he searched for David, Saul could not capture him. Now, surprisingly, where Saul failed, his son Jonathan did not. For Jonathan found out the whereabouts of David. How Jonathan managed to find David is not mentioned. That is not important. What we do read is that Jonathan used the knowledge of David's hiding place to support and to encourage David. Jonathan did this in such a manner that the actual secret of David's shelter is revealed. For Jonathan, we read, Jonathan strengthened his friend in God. Being his close friend, Jonathan realized what it must have meant for David to hide in the wilderness. Yes, Jonathan understood that through the actions of his father Saul, David was banished. Even you could say excommunicated from the communion of his people. In such a situation of missing the support from God's people, we read that Jonathan encouraged David in what? Jonathan encouraged David in seeking his confidence and trust in the Lord. Look what Jonathan said to him. Do not be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. Quite confident language. Jonathan continues, you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And even my father Saul knows that. Now what do these words show? They first reveal that Jonathan saw God's plan in both of their lives. And Jonathan accepted God's sovereign will in that plan. He, Jonathan, conceded to the place, the second place, God allotted to him. And therefore, if we place now Jonathan's words in New Testament light, then we can say that Jonathan stepped back for Christ's sake. Jonathan showed the power of true faith, indeed, that he had denied himself, he followed God's way. But Jonathan was not jealous on David like his father. Jonathan was content. He was content, satisfied with the position in which God had placed him. His position under David. Jonathan's words did not only reveal Jonathan's humble faith, they also showed that faith is active in love. Yes, he came to visit his friend to support David in his miserable life as a fugitive for Saul. And then he encouraged David to wait patiently on the Lord. Jonathan assured David, your safety and protection truly are in God. the implied truth here is, beloved, people are fickle. Even family. Saul was even David's father-in-law. People are fickle. The one time they rejoice in you, the next thing they do is drop you, if that is more convenient. Not so with God. No matter how extreme his situation would become, the Lord would be faithful to David. God would keep his word. Congregation, why would God do that? Keeping his faithful word to David. Was David now such an extraordinary good fellow? A nice man? No, congregation, like in all other events in the Old Testament story and history, we must have an eye for the ongoing revelation of God's work. God's work of redemption. With David, that redemptive history came at an important stage. You know that David would be the first king showing the glorious rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must not first and foremost focus on David as a person. The important point here is, what did God do through him? What position did God give David? And David then was the king after God's heart. God cared for David so much because he would open the way more unto the true King of peace, Jesus Christ. And so we must listen to passages such as we have in front of this morning, 1 Samuel 23, in this way, that God kept his word to David so that we are saved. God continues to train David in patience and trust so that we too may follow the same course. You see, here we ourselves are involved. In 1 Samuel 23, David was strengthened so that God's people, so that we too, that we would be ruled by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed, here God's Spirit was speaking through Jonathan. O beloved, God's Spirit ensured that David would not follow away of his own choosing. The Holy Spirit ensured that David would not use his own tactics and strategies. That his strength was not in a city with walls and gates. David's power was not in man. His true shelter was with the Lord. At the end we read then of Jonathan's visit, at the end of that visit, that both friends renewed their covenant bond in the Lord. We would say that in praying, pleading on God's promises, they commended each other to God's care, assuring each other of their ongoing support. That's what believers do. They will be faithful to one another and not betray each other. Even in a very critical situation, they, as friends, could part in peace. They confirmed to each other, we are safe in God's hands. But, congregation, also young people, actually, how secure was David's shelter in those caves in the wilderness? And this brings us to our second point, the discovery of David's shelter. In the concrete circumstances, was David's shelter there in the desert a foolproof hiding place? No, it wasn't. For you know, Saul didn't sit idle. He continued to search for David. And you know, Saul received unexpected help from the Ziphites. They lived in that area David was hiding. And this shows how unsafe his apparent safety was. But the Ziphites would know the hiding places of that desert probably even better than David did. It was, after all, the Ziphites' own territory. And so Saul couldn't get better spies for his intelligence service to track David down. And what happened? The Ziphites briefed Saul on the exact location of David's hiding. And they were also very accommodating to Saul. The king only had to come along with them and they would deliver David into his hands. Now, congregation, what do we think of that action of the Ziphites? Weren't they mean to report David to Saul? To us, let's be honest, to us, that action comes across as betrayal. It looks like a real Judas trick. However, let us not judge too quickly. We are prone to do that. Let us not judge them too quickly before we have assessed who the true culprit is here. Who must be blamed for David's troubled predicament? Who made life hard to him? You know, that was King Saul. And Saul was the, after all, lawful king of Israel. Even David himself acknowledged Saul to be the anointed one of the Lord. Now that's also what the Ziphites did. He was their lawful king. Would they have already known something of the Lord's plans with David? Most likely not. And moreover, imagine what would happen to the Ziphites if they would not have David reported to the king. Then they would have given the impression that they were on David's side. And well, the previous chapter in 22 shows that Saul did what Saul then did in such a case. You know, and note, all the priests were killed, save Abiathar, after Doeg reported to Saul that they had helped David. Now, Saul would have done the same with the Ziphites if they had remained silent. And besides, Saul replied to the Ziphites' report in a rather long-winded way, as we have read. And Saul even seemed it appropriate to use the name of the Lord for his evil scheme. To be completely sure of David's hiding place, Saul put pressure on the Ziphites to get some more details, to be completely sure. You see here, Saul, King Saul, is the entirely responsible person. Because of his distrust and jealousy, Saul resisted God's will. He opposed God. Saul very well knew God's plan with David. As Jonathan indicated, verse 17. And nevertheless, no matter what it would cost, Saul wanted to kill David. But meanwhile, David had changed location. He now lived in the wilderness of Maon. When this was reported, Saul with his men moved to those cliffs. And Saul acted as a man that is now sure of his course. His tactic was powerful. And he discovered David. What now would have gone through David's mind? Before, point one, we saw that Jonathan very convincingly had reassured David, "My father shall not find you." And yet now, Saul did. He even was close on David's heels, about to catch him. What an affliction. What should David have done? Rather than having listened to God, 1 Samuel 22 verse 5, shouldn't he have taken matters in his own hand, securing his own safety and leaving Israel, the country, altogether? For now, having stayed in Israel, according to the command of God, David now seemed to be hopelessly lost. You know, David undoubtedly would have popped that why question. Why? Why did God actually allow me to come in this extreme crisis, David would have asked? What's the use of it? Beloved, we must understand that as Jonathan was an instrument in God's hand to strengthen David, so Saul also was an instrument in God's hand now to test and train David. Yes, God leads his people through a training process of hardships, disappointments, and crises. Think of other people in the service of the Lord, other people in the Bible, like Joseph in Egypt. Joseph, sold by his brothers. Or Moses, the liberator of the Israelites from Egypt. Moses, fleeing from the hand of Pharaoh. Think of the hardships of the prophets. Often they had to lose everything. They were lonely and forsaken. And at the same time, they often were chased and attacked by enemies. Now they all, as children of God, of the Lord, believers, they all were, so to speak, Joseph, Moses, the prophets, like David here now, they are in God's school. In God's training school, they had to learn obedience. They also had to trust that God was their safety. We read and hear about this truth so that we too have our safety and security only with God. How did God show this in David's particular case? Well, David, as he should, David, he tried his utmost to escape from Saul's hand. And he managed to make some diverting moves. He tried to make use of all the possibilities offered by the wilderness. And for a time he was successful. But in the end he failed. He came into a snag. Saul went along one side of the mountain, David and his men along the other side. Saul, more and more, was closing in on him. Things had never been so critical for David. And there was no way out anymore. It was only a matter of a few moments. Saul would catch him. Through that critical situation, the Lord made David painfully feel how powerless he was. If it would have depended on David himself, on all his clever tactics, he would have been caught. He would have lost his freedom. And yet, congregation, I have to point out again also, and this passage here is much more going on than just the cat and mouse game. Imagine this. If Saul would have killed David there and then, the promise given to David could not have been fulfilled. Then Saul and the enemy of God, the murderer of the beginning, Saul and the enemy would have triumphed. Therefore, in Saul's pursuing of David, we must see the ongoing struggle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Brothers and sisters, that is also at stake in this passage. We have to throw light on this passage from Genesis 3, verse 15. The struggle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. For we have to face this. If David would have fallen into Saul's hand, then the dragon of Revelation 12 would have won over the seed of the woman. Then Satan would have won over Christ. Then not only David would have lost his freedom, but the whole world would have stayed in the grip of death and darkness, of greed and envy. So, beloved, this is how we have to read this passage. If David would have been lost there, we would have been lost too. We won't have known of the struggle that is fought around us. Yet in God's training school, our eyes are open for that struggle around us that goes on in the world. And God's people are not exempt of that fight. They are fully involved. But praise be to God, the victory is not to our enemies. It is the Lord's, therefore also ours. Beloved, our text reveals, 1 Samuel 23 reveals that human deliberations and activities, which can be good and necessary in itself, but human activities cannot ensure safety and freedom. That's what we see here, that God trained David to take shelter under his wings. And from another passage of God's word, we know that through the grace of the Spirit, David did well. He did well in God's training school. From Psalm 54, we have read and sang that David called to the Lord, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." David took shelter with the Lord. You know what? That God preserved that psalm for us too, so that along with many other psalms, we too will show progress in the training school of our spiritual life. That in the struggles and troubles of this earthly life, we turn to the Lord and that we take shelter with Him. We show this, for example, by taking Psalm 54 upon our lips, finding and having our rest in the Lord. Satan can be on our heels. Let's face it, beloved, he often is. Satan is often on our heels. He still prowls around like a roaring lion, like Saul, taking his instrument in Saul around that mountain. Satan still prowls around like a roaring lion in our secular world and culture of today, trying to get us into his snag, to kill us, catch us. Still today, he, so to speak, chases us around, young and old. He chases us around a mountain, trying to snatch us in his web, in his worldwide web. Then we have to remind ourselves that we are in God's training school. That we have to withstand the temptation to take matters in our own hands. That we seek safety with God alone, not in our own wisdom and strength. In the deep crisis of life, beloved, hold on to the truth that you are only safe with your covenant God. He will set us free. He is our escape. That's what we see in the last part. David learned that God is his escape. Our last point. Deliverance comes to David, as we have read. Deliverance comes to him in a remarkable way. In order to rescue David, the Lord called in the enemy of Israel, the Philistines. In his attempts to catch David, Saul had left the country unprotected. Saul now had to march to the Philistines, who invaded the country. Saul now had to take care to prevent even greater disasters. In this way, the Lord worked David's escape. After all, you see, David's shelter in the wilderness was a real place of refuge. And so this passage is also a clear testimony that our holy and sovereign God always, he always remains in control for the best safety and salvation of his people. He rules everything. He rules even the enemies of God's people. That's what we read in our text. And it's also confirmed throughout the history of the church till today. But in this very moment, we may witness God's preserving and protecting power. Despite all the persecutions and oppositions against his chosen people from within and from without, the Lord has protected Christ's church as our place of peace. And in this place, we come to see that God is our fortress. Only God. He is our strength. A present helper in all trouble. God is our rock. And that's precisely what we read at the close of our text. For the place of David's deliverance received a special name. Rock of escape. Now, congregation, it happens much more in the Bible that a certain place gets a specific name. Now, through such name giving, a special event makes an history in Israel. Through a special name, an event of God's salvation must then be stored in the memories of God's people. And when then families would come along such places, then the children should ask the parents, why does that rock? Why is that place called with that and that name? And then according to Deuteronomy 6, the parents had to instruct the children. They have to give them catechism, so to speak. They have to explain God's deeds. Because they say, such and such happened at this place. Here, the Lord remembered David. Here at this place, he took care of David. Here, he also took care of us. He remembered you. He remembered the future generations to save his people, to deliver and to protect them because of his sure promises. Promises of peace and salvation, eternal glory. Today, this morning, here in Christ Church, we say and confess that in 1 Samuel 23, through David, God protected us. Actually, he did so through the Son of David, to Christ. Indeed, beloved, the name-giving of that place as the rock of escape means that God includes all his people in David's learning process. David, the whole nation of Israel, also you and I, we must learn again and again to take shelter with our covenant God. He is our refuge, through thick and thin, through all the crises in our life. He is our refuge. Maybe there are people here who have not actually entered the training from their own part. But in the crisis of life, they want to help themselves or to save themselves. But we have understood this morning, then you will not find an escape. Then, beloved, you won't find peace. Listen to the call and instructions from the Lord. Turn to Him. Totally rely on Him and encourage one another. And above all, teach the children of the church and the young people. God sets us totally free from all the snags, from all the power of the devil. Indeed, God is our refuge and strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear, though the earth be moved, for God Most High is our safe hiding place. Amen.